Well, today I'm going to study about Jeremiah's faith. If you are not familiar with the scriptures, especially the book of Jeremiah, I assume that once in a while you may have some difficulties to comprehend what I'm trying to say. It is because I'm going to cover basically the whole book of the book of Jeremiah here and there, and I'm going to take certain references, and we are going to read those verses together so that we may understand what Jeremiah's faith was about and what we can learn from his faith. One of the longest books in the Old Testament is, in fact, the book of Jeremiah. However, I think, personally, I feel that this book has been neglected from many pulpits, and the prophet Jeremiah himself has not been properly examined and recognized with honor. The prophets were not just religious teachers on the day, in the abstract, but they were the messengers of God. So there were differences between priests and prophets. Priests were basically the representatives for mankind. So if someone committed a sin against God, the person was supposed to bring an offering to the priest so that the priest was able to offer proper sacrifices unto God for the atonement of sins. However, prophets were different. Prophets were directly called by God himself, and the messages were given to them from God himself. So in that regard, priests and prophets were different. Priests were kind of inherited by the blood. So priest's son is going to be a priest, and his son is going to be a priest, and so on in the Old Testament. But the prophets were different. Prophet's son may not be a prophet. So in that regard, calling and ministries were a lot different. And they were the messengers of God commissioned to convey to the people of God the very word that God had given to them. They had very specific messages to specific people and specific points in history. Jeremiah shared these days with other contemporary prophets such as Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Ezekiel. If there is any prophet who expressed his feelings and emotions during the time of his ministry in writing, I cannot but think of the prophet Jeremiah. He did not try to hide his feelings. Sometimes he even boldly spoke about God in such a manner that we do not expect from the prophets, God's prophets. He was a prophet, but he was a very lonely prophet. He longed for fellowships with other people of God, but he was rejected by his own rank, and he was rejected by his own people. He felt at times even betrayed by God himself. That's why Jeremiah was a very unique prophet in many, many ways. No other prophet revealed the inner turmoil of his heart so much as Jeremiah. I wonder whether that is the reason why he comes very close to us. So if you are interested in reading this book, I hope that you will be able to read it, and so that you will be able to see his real heart as a human being, not only as a prophet of God. Thus, this evening, I would like to talk about Jeremiah as a fellow believer who lived only by faith. First of all, let me talk about the young man, Jeremiah as a young man. Probably it is better for me to talk about the historical background of the days of Jeremiah. In a word, I can say that during the time of Jeremiah's days, there were a lot of crises. If we read Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, which was a part of our reading text this afternoon, chapter 1 verse 10, we will see that his days were very rough and tough in many ways. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10 says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." God is saying this. God says, "I have set you, Jeremiah, over the nations and over the kingdoms." Then it says, he said, "to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." In fact, international affairs were something like that. A lot of kingdoms were rising up and a lot of kingdoms perished during the time of Jeremiah's ministry. When Jeremiah was growing as a young man, the Assyrian Empire was the most powerful empire in the world. It was a superpower. However, finally, Assyrian Empire was declining and it was in decay. At the collapse of Assyria, the neighboring countries of Israel, such as Egypt, Babylon, Medes, and a lot of other smaller kingdoms were looking for opportunities to find the spoils of war. If we know the history of Israel, we shall know the intense situation of Jeremiah's days in that particular land, the land of Palestine. The northern kingdom of Israel has had 12 tribes. However, later on, United Kingdom of Israel with 12 tribes, that United Kingdom of Israel was divided into two parts, and 10 tribes took their own portion of land, and so they built their own kingdom, and it became a northern kingdom of Israel. Then two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, became a part of a southern kingdom, and that southern kingdom has been called as the southern kingdom, Judah. Northern kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes belonged to that particular kingdom, was completely destroyed and conquered by the Assyrians. And Assyrians were very smart enough how to rule over those conquered territories. What they did was not only destroy the country, but also employ the policy of emigration. So they took huge portion of population from the northern kingdom of Israel, and those people were shifted, transferred to different parts of the empire. And from other parts of the empire, those people were transplanted into the land of Palestine. As a result, 10 tribes could not maintain their pure bloodline as the nation of God. So as a result, northern kingdom of Israel began to develop a kind of mixed bloodlines. As a result, eventually, we call them in the New Testament times Samaritans. So there is no pure bloodline in the northern kingdom of Israel. And so northern kingdom of Israel was completely destroyed and conquered. It was because the northern kingdom of Israel was sinful against God. The Assyrians moved on to the south to conquer the southern kingdom of Judah. But they were not able to do it. Though they could not do it, Judah became a vassal of Assyria. So they had to pay tributes to the Assyrian Empire. After the Assyrian Empire perished, then Judah became a vassal of Egypt and then finally of Babylon. During the time of Babylonian Empire, finally Judah was conquered and destroyed. And it was simply because Judah was so sinful against God, and God exercised his divine authority over that particular nation, and he punished the sinful nation. And Jeremiah lived through all this. So he lived in a very tough time in the history of Israel. Jeremiah was born of a priestly family in a village called Anathoth. And this particular village was about 4 miles to the northeast of Jerusalem. And probably it belonged to the tribal territory of the tribe of Benjamin. Jeremiah had never acted as a priest, even though he was born into the priestly family. Throughout his ministry, even though he was not able to play, even though he was not able to act as a priest, throughout his ministry, he never lost the heart of priest by loving the path of truth and the souls of God's people. Though he did not work as a priest, we know that he acted as a priest in heart by taking the nation of Israel onto the prayer altar of God. He did not give animal sacrifices unto God on the behalf of his own people. However, he prayed for his own people. Though he did not give any animal sacrifice, but he offered spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praises unto God for them, for their sake. His hometown, Anathoth, was not far from the ancient city called Shiloh. I'm not sure whether you have known anything about the city called Shiloh. This city was the place where the glory of God once took abode. And in fact, this was the place where God allowed the children of Israel to set up a tabernacle as a place of worship. This was the place where God received the sacrifices and offerings from His own people. This was the city where our beloved boy Samuel worked in the sanctuary of God. This was the place where God called Samuel to be His prophet 3 times. This was the place where sweet aroma unto God was offered every day through sacrifices. But do you know? Do you know what happened to this city? In fact, this was the city where the high priest Eli was found dead with a broken neck. This was the city where a crying voice was echoed from the lips of a woman, Ichabod, meaning the glory is departed from Israel. When Jeremiah was born, this city was completely destroyed and there was no more glory. There was no sign of woes against, there was only a sign of woes against those who were disobeying the commandments of the Holy God. I think this message is quite relevant to all of us today. A lot of people are relying on their churches and they are relying on their religious rituals and so on. As long as they are doing certain religiously correct rituals, they feel that their souls are safe. But when we do not know the Word of God, if we do not know the laws of God, if we do not obey God's laws and commandments, then the final day is going to come. We know that there are 7 churches in Asia Minor, and those 7 churches are mentioned in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And we all know that there are only relics of those churches left. And there are no more churches since the day of days of their destruction. As Jeremiah grew up, he saw the object lesson in regard to the consequence of disobedience. There were consequences to God's people's worship of idols. They offered the sacrifices unto the Queen of Heaven. They were not afraid of the wrath of God. And how was this righteous man suffered in the midst of this kind of spiritual misery? It is quite interesting. Interesting to see that all these happenings took place in the midst of the people of God, the nation of God. We are not talking about pagans. We are not talking about idol worshippers. In fact, all those miseries took place in the midst of the people called as the people of God. Therefore, simply coming to Christian churches and worshiping once in a while is not going to be a guarantee of your spiritual safety. Beware. Jeremiah was born between 645 and 650 B.C. before Christ, 645 and 650 B.C., toward the end of the reign of the evil king Manasseh. This was a wicked king who encouraged even God's people to worship Baal and the hosts of heaven, which were just a bunch of idols. We do not know exactly what year Jeremiah commenced his ministry, but probably it was around 627 B.C. If we reckon that Manasseh reigned between 687 and 642 B.C., Jeremiah would have known very little at first hand about the king Manasseh. However, we have ample evidence or resources from which we can know about King Manasseh. Even in the scriptures. For example, 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 2 testifies about Manasseh. It says this, "And Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." His influence was everywhere in the land of Judah. 2 Kings chapter 21 verses 4 to 7 testifies about it. It says this, "And Manasseh built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, 'In Jerusalem will I put my name.' And he built altars for all the host of heaven." Here it is quite striking. We are talking about king of Judah. And he's supposed to be a godly king to lead the nation of Judah. to God worship and God only religion. And besides that, Manasseh had such a wonderful upbringing. His father Hezekiah was one of the most godly kings in the history of Israel. But from such a godly king, King Hezekiah, we can see that his son was such an evil, ungodly, unspiritual person. Therefore, you know, it's quite interesting though. Our parents may be godly and spiritual, but still our children can be ungodly and blasphemous. It is a personal relationship. It is quite sad to see that usually first generation Christians tend to be very zealous and they are putting their hearts into it, but second generation is becoming a bit more lukewarm than third generation lukewarm and so on. It is very hard to see the same intensity in zeal and enthusiasm in serving the Lord from generation to generation. What a pity. What a pity. Such a godly and spiritual King Hezekiah had a man like Manasseh. He built an altar in the house of God. We are talking about Solomonic temple in Jerusalem. And inside of the Jerusalem temple, which is supposed to be called as the place where God's name is put, he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. That's what Manasseh did. Manasseh built altars for idols inside of Jerusalem temple. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed the times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a graven image of the grove that he made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, where I put my name forever. So inside of Solomon's Jerusalem temple, he put all kinds of either worshippers' objects. It is amazing that he practiced even human sacrifice, which was a practice of Molech worship. It's a pagan religion. His atrocities are continually mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 9 to 15. It was the condition which prevailed when Jeremiah was called. After Manasseh, his son Amon briefly ruled, but he was assassinated soon. Then after Amon, so here Manasseh, he died and his son Amon became a king, but he lived only briefly as a king. Then he was assassinated and then his son became a king. And when this son became a king, he was only 8 years old and his name is Josiah. This king is the famous king with the Reformation movement inside of the nation of Israel. His era was special in many ways. One of them is that Jeremiah began his ministry around the beginning of King Josiah's reign. So King Josiah's religious reformation movement started, and that was the time around which Prophet Jeremiah began to do his ministry. In order to understand the difficulty of Jeremiah's ministry, we need to look into the influences felt and left even after King Manasseh's death. Manasseh did not follow godly examples of his father's Hezekiah. Instead, his grandfather Ahaz was his hero. It is interesting genealogy, by the way. King Hezekiah was a godly king, but his father Ahaz was an ungodly man. And very unfortunately, Manasseh did not follow his father's examples, but his grandfather's examples. And as a result, he not only submitted his kingdom to the Assyrians, but also invited the religion of the Assyrians into Jerusalem. Thus, he canceled all the reform measures implemented by his father Hezekiah and allowed again all local shrines and pagan practices. And when Jeremiah was young, the land of Judah was pitched dark spiritually. Well, in fact, a lot of people are talking about England as a spiritually dark land. It seems that there is no proper testimony of Jesus Christ in this country, and Bible-believing and preaching churches are dwindling in size, and they are decreasing all the time. It seems that a lot of churches have taken their path of apostasy, so there are not too many preachers, not too many churches left that are faithfully upholding the truth of God. And even Bible colleges and seminaries and preachers are perverting the teachings of the scriptures, and they are denying the truth of God. How sad that is. We can say that our days are dark. However, you know, sometimes when we think of those things, and when we see that there is really not much influence of Christian godliness and Christian faith in this country, we may be discouraged, but that is not the reason that we have to be discouraged. In fact, when there is the darkness, you know, there is a light as well. The even small lamp, even small candle can give out even more light when there is a pitched dark present. Jeremiah's day was like that. Then he was called, his calling. When he was about late teens, we do not know exactly how old he was when he was called by the Lord. Some people say that probably he was about 18 years old. Some people say maybe he was about 20. And some commentators actually say that he was probably around 16. So he was not an old man or even mature man. He was around late teen as far as his age was concerned. And in that age, God called him to his prophet. A priest, Jeremiah, became a prophet, Jeremiah, through this calling. The first vision that he saw was closely related to his calling. And the first vision is shown in verses 11 and 12 in the first chapter in the book of Jeremiah. And in that vision, he saw an almond tree, which was the first breath of the coming spring and burst into blossom, although the other trees seemed still wrapped in their winter sleep. Likewise, Jeremiah was to be the first prophet to wake up Israel to return to their God and the Lord in the midst of Israel's spiritual winter sleep. When he was called, he did not respond to the caller, God, cheerfully. Probably he knew the gloomy spiritual condition of Israel, and he was probably afraid of going into such a harsh ministry, in such an environment. He could have remembered the life of Isaiah and many other prophets who suffered for their ministries among the stiff-necked, disobeying children of Israel. However, he was not courageous enough to say no to God. He may have wanted to take the calling so badly, but he felt that he was not adequate for such a mission, such a job. He said to the Lord in chapter 1, verse 7, basically, I'm not ready. That's what he replied to the Lord. Ah, Lord God, in chapter 1, verse 7 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Probably he knew that his ministry would not be successful in human eyes. However, he submitted to the calling of the Almighty God. Before long, he was preaching with a passion. He said to the people, and this is basically the message that he preached, You have forsaken your God. You have forsaken the fountain of the living waters. Your enemies are coming as a result, and you shall be destroyed. Therefore, surrender to the invading army. That was the message that Jeremiah was supposed to preach. He not only preached the message of dooms, but later on he began to preach the messages of hope in the future. He prophesied the future of the nations, but he was not a politician, obviously. He was a passionate preacher, and he was a passionate servant of God. He faced the false prophets, and he rebuked them. He used, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says, thus says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, the phrase. 150 times, 150 times throughout the book. 150 times you can find that phrase in the book of Jeremiah. Probably it was because he knew that only God was his strength and comfort in the ministry. So whenever he was in despair, whenever he was oppressed, whenever he was in difficult trials, always his message began with the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." God was his strength and comfort in his ministry and in his personal life. He was the man called for the task. Then let me talk about his ministry. His ministry was a very, very tough and difficult one. The difficulty was, first of all, in the international conflicts. By the fact that Jeremiah prophesied against so many nations, such as Egypt, Phoenicia, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Damascus, Arab tribes, Elam, and Babylon in chapters 46 to 51, we find that Judah was not in a safe condition in the international affairs during his days. King Josiah, I mentioned that he became a king when he was only 8 years old. He was the king of Judah between 640 and 609, 640 and 609 BC. And he was a shining lamp for the land of Judah during his rule. But very unfortunately, his reign as the king of the country was very brief and very short. Josiah wanted an independence of his country from foreign forces. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verse 3 says, "For in the eighth year of his reign means he became 16 years old. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father." We praise the Lord for him. He's 16 years old, and there were so many challenges outside and around his own country. Internally, externally, there were a lot of trials, a lot of afflictions and conflicts and problems. And when he became 16 years old, finally he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Not Manasseh, not Ahaz king, Ahaz gods, but the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year means he became 18 years old. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. In other words, when Josiah became 18 years old, he became a reformer of a whole country. Not only political reformer, but he was a religious and spiritual reformer. And finally, the country began to experience spiritual restoration and spiritual revival. And so he removed all those wrong things from the high places and the groves and carved images and molten images. Do you think you are too young to do the work of God? Do you think you are not well ready for the Lord's glorious and precious work? You are not ready to keep the commandments of God because you are too young? Here is a man who became a king when he was only 8 years old. Now, 6 years old, now 18 years old, he's making his whole country upside down. Oh, if our children are like that, what a glory, what an honor we'll be able to observe. However, very unfortunately, Josiah's reform was only an imposed one. Imposed reform. It seems that even though king was zealous, even though king was enthusiastic to change the whole country, but most people underwent no change in heart at all. When Josiah died, the reform movement stopped and everything returned to old ways. After all, external conformity without inward change could not produce any spiritual revival. Josiah's successors until Jerusalem was finally conquered by the Babylonians were all unworthy people. Popular pagan practices came back later on. Public morality deteriorated. Priests and prophets in the land lied to their people and they said that everything was okay, even though war is at hand. and divine justice is about to be exercised. Jeremiah had to speak against the popular religion in his day. He was a loner. In fact, he had to speak against the prophets themselves in chapter 28. He was against the trends of his time. No one liked him. No one liked his messages. No one liked his condemning voice through God's messages. As for the people, he was an unpardonable sinner. His messages were only treacherous. He spoke to the people. It is the message from the Lord. I'm not telling you from my own thinking, but this is the message from God. Surrender to your enemies. It is because that's a part of divine justice and judgment. How could his message be accepted? He seemed to be an outmoded preacher of his days. He had to fight against idolatry all the time. Hear from the Lord in chapter 11, verses 9 to 14. If you want to look at the scriptures, you may want to look at Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 9 to 14. He says this, "And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." Verse 14. "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." Jeremiah could have asked the Lord, "Lord, you are telling me that I should not pray for this people. Lord, you are the one who sent me to this people. If I do not have to pray for them, in fact, you are forbidding me not to pray for them. Then what is my ministry? Why did you call me? What is my ministry? And what can I do for these people? You said when they are in troubles, if they pray to you, you are not going to hear them. And that's why I do not have to pray for them. I should not pray for them. Father, why did you call me?" Because of God's ministry, Jeremiah became an unpopular person in public. And interestingly enough, he became a public enemy number one, not only by the commoners, but by the religious people. Eventually, at the end of this era, before Jesus comes again, according to the scriptures, a lot of people will fall into apostasy, and false prophets and false teachers will deliver false messages, which were perversions and distortions of the truth of God. And those messages will become popular. And eventually the servants of the Lord, the faithful people of God, will greatly suffer. That is one of the prophecies in the scriptures. Thus, in our days even, it is not a strange thing if we have to suffer persecutions simply because we want to be faithful to God's word. God did not seem to care about any life of pleasure for Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told by the Lord that he was not to marry. He was not supposed to have a home and family. He was not supposed to enter into the house of mourning. He was not to share in the joy of the marriage feast. And his own family dealt with him treacherously against him. His message was completely despised, and his own people from his own hometown, Anathoth, said in chapter 11, verse 21, "Prophesy not in the name of the Lord." Isn't it amazing that thou die not by our hand? Probably some of those villagers were priests themselves, and we are looking at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is being told by his own villagers not to prophesy in the name of God. If he's going to continue to prophesy in the name of God, he may be killed. That was the death threat from his villagers. When his life was threatened, only a few people came forward to save him. He worked among non-friendly people. Jeremiah preached to save them, to deliver them from the coming destructions, but they did not recognize it. And his work was not appreciated. His messages were not appreciated. It is a really interesting thing to notice that actually his messages were not his messages. His messages are all delivered by God himself. Because he was a prophet of God, his messages were actually the messages from God. But when the people of God are so stubborn to disobey God and God's commandments, they even refuse the messages of God. Jeremiah did not hide his uneasy feelings about God. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord. When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" He couldn't understand. While he was having a righteous, upright living, besides that he was faithful in his ministry by delivering God's messages to those evil people, he's suffering, but those evil ones seem to enjoy the pleasure in the life. He couldn't understand. God, where is your righteousness? Righteous God, why do I have to suffer? And they have all the pleasure. He couldn't understand it. Chapter 8, verse 18 says, "When I would comfort myself against the sorrow." So he couldn't find any comfort from anywhere else but from himself. "When I would comfort myself against the sorrow, my heart is faint in me." He was in despair. He was discouraged. Can the children of God be discouraged? Sometimes I think some preachers are saying that if you are the believers of Jesus Christ, you must be always happy. You must be always victorious. Well, victorious, but in many different ways. And some people say, if Christians are discouraged, something is not right. Well, don't they trust in God? Chapter 9, verse 1 says, Jeremiah said this, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of waters, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." It is because he knew that God's coming judgment is just around the corner. And when Babylonian army is going to come into this country, he knows that a lot of things will be destroyed. And Babylonians were actually very cruel people. According to some of the records we have concerning their atrocities, we can find a lot of things. They cut the abdomen, the belly of the pregnant women with knife. And they sometimes grabbed the little baby's feet with their hands, and they smashed their heads against the rocks, against the trees, before the eyes of their mothers. They were the Babylonians. And according to the message, from the message of God, Jeremiah knew that the people of Israel were going to be totally destroyed and suffered with such level of atrocities. So he could not but cry. He was telling the people that destruction is coming, return to God. But they refused to hear him. But instead they were trying to kill him, shut his mouth off. And he suffered. He was able to hear the war sound and to see the beauties of Israel destroyed. Chapter 8, verses 21 and 22 say this, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people," she knew that destruction was coming. So he said, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" She was crying for his own people. As we come to chapter 15, we find an exasperated Jeremiah. Chapter 15, verse 10 says, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth, yet every one of them doth curse me." He felt that he was standing against the whole land. And he's saying, "O mother, why did you bring me into this life? Everyone curses me." The Lord told Jeremiah in chapter 15, verse 14. I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. So when his people suffered, Jeremiah was suffered too. Look at Jeremiah in chapter 15, verse 15. So here is Jeremiah's prayer. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. Revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Then from this discouraged prophet of God, we will hear a very unusual statement before God. Chapter 15, verse 18 says, Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? What did you hear him? This servant of God, Jeremiah, said to the Lord in his prayer, God, you are a liar. You are like a liar to me. That's what is said in verse 18. How dare he say something like that? Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 7, O Lord, here is even more incredible statement we find. Chapter 20, verse 7, he said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision. Daily everyone mocketh me. In verse 9, he came to a point to make up his mind not to speak in God's name. God, I have done whatever you have told me to do, and I have done all those things. Look at me. What am I doing? And what sort of suffering I am in. You are like a liar, and you have deceived me, and I was deceived. As a result, he said in verse 9 in chapter 20, he said, But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. It was because he wanted not to preach anymore. God, I'm not going to do the ministry anymore. I am out of it. I'm not going to deliver your message anymore. It is just too much for me. I cannot bear it anymore. But verse 9, he said, His word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. However, there was an internal spiritual burning. There is a burden for the word of God. He could not bear it anymore. Look at Jeremiah's, psychological ups and downs. From chapter 20, verses 13 to 18. Would you like to read it? Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 13 to 18. Let's read it together. Sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord. For he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might be my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. And that Amen. Verse 20 says, Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, then my days should be consumed with shame. You know, if you read verse 13, it sounds like a prophet's prayer. Because it says, Sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. It sounds like prophet's utterance. However, from verse 14, basically to verse 20, it is all about his curses on his birthday. Why was I born? And I'm dying. I'm consumed with shame. And why did I, did I have life? So he's talking about his difficulties to cope with the burdens and the responsibilities and duties that he had to carry out. Jeremiah's inner burden, I think we need to understand this. Jeremiah's inner burden began with his inability to disassociate himself from those who are doomed to destruction. He knew that his people were destroyed, will be destroyed, and will be conquered, will be suffered. And he could not disassociate himself from them. When even his own family tried to kill him, his inner suffering grew out of his care and concern for them. The rejection against him was basically universal. And truly hatred that he had received broke him down. His life seemed to be miserable. He was rejected by family and the whole nation. His life was constantly in danger. And he was excluded from the temple worship service, even though he was a priest and prophet. Even he felt that he was out of touch from God, and he did not feel that God was caring about him. Where is the joy in serving the Lord, as we usually say, quite often say? Then his last days. Chapter 11, verse 19 says this. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. Well, this expression sounds very familiar. It says, I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. The quite a similar expression was used for someone in the scriptures. And who was he? Our Savior. When Jerusalem fell, finally Jerusalem was totally destroyed and it was completely burnt. And through, very unfortunately, the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah's ministry was vindicated. Because his message was about the destruction of Jerusalem. And through that destruction, actually, his ministry was vindicated. After the destruction of Jerusalem, he could have sought a shelter in Babylon or in a safer place in his country. He could have chosen a better place for him to stay with comfort. But his heart and his life were so much bound to his people. And so chapter 40, verse 6 tells us that he dwelt among the people that were left in the land after the destruction of Jerusalem. And those people who were left in the land were only needy people. And he was with them. Even after Jerusalem was destroyed, the children of Israel did not treat Jeremiah well. After the newly appointed governor by Babylonian government was assassinated by certain rebels, people came to Jeremiah for God's counsel. So when they were in trial, they needed some help. They wanted to know the will of God, so they came to Jeremiah because they knew that his messages came to be true. So they asked him for an advice. And so, obviously, Jeremiah was willing to give them an advice, but they refused to listen to his advice, in fact, God's advice. They refused to obey God. They accused Jeremiah as a liar, even though he faithfully delivered God's message to them. But they needed him somehow, even though they were not willing to listen to his messages. They dragged him to Egypt as they were escaping from the hands of the Babylonians into Egypt. This was a tragedy in Israel. They felt they would need Jeremiah, but they were not willing to obey the messages he delivered from God. How many of us are the same kind, in fact? We have received so many challenges from the wrath of God. And once in a while, we are convicted and sometimes our conscience is speaking against what we are doing. But who will follow the steps of Jesus who loved us and died and rose again for us, and who is willing to listen to the word of God and obey? During Jeremiah's 40 years of this earthly ministry, 5 kings came and went. But Jeremiah kept on working to blow the trumpet of warning. He saw
what he did not want to see.
He did not want to see the destruction of Jerusalem, but he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. He was a priest. Therefore, it is very obvious that his heart was attached to the Jerusalem temple and temple services. However, he had to see that beautiful temple in Jerusalem was burned down. A tradition tells us that he hid the Ark of the Covenant, of which we do not affirm and we do not know. He was a prophet of tears. He was a weeping prophet for his own people in the darkest era of the history of Israel. Then what kept him going? That was the calling. Calling from God he received in chapter 1. God told him in chapter 1, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And God said, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." That was the calling. We do not know how he died. I wish I could know how he died. Well, there are different stories about his death, but none of them can be important because the Spirit of God refused to leave a note of his final moment or his death. Probably there is a reason why the Holy Spirit did not want to leave the record about his death in the Scriptures. There is only one who should be glorified, who should be glorified through the ministry of his servant, that is God himself. His servant Jeremiah lived in accordance with the calling that he had received in chapter 1. He died, but God is the one who should be praised. Jeremiah died probably in sorrows as he saw the sinfulness of his people and their misery in their exiles. But when he opened his eyes again, he saw the shining glory of God in heaven and heard a voice like a dropping of honey. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Rest with me and dine with me." And we thank the Lord and we praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise God who calls us to praise him. Give thanks unto him who uses us in various ways while we are living on this earth. How we love Jesus. He loves and cares for us and calls us for a task. And I want to have the same happy ending like Jeremiah. Maybe even though in this life, the path of life may be rough and tough. There may be a lot of curves. I do not know the path that I shall have to tread on. But what I know is that God is the caller and I responded to the call. And I'm sure that you are the same. God is the caller and you are the ones who responded. Probably you are all like me who desire to walk with the Lord until the last moment. Let us be faithful to God and his calling by faith. Circumstances doesn't matter. All the giants of men, giants of faith, both men and women, lived in the dark times in church history. Maybe if what people says about England's spiritual condition is true, so this land is dark, maybe it is good for us. This is an opportunity. This is a privilege that we can live in this era, because this is an era in which we must live by faith alone. And I hope that we will all learn from Jeremiah and we will live by faith. And I will continue on Jeremiah and his faith next week. And I hope that you will come and join us again next week. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes just reading through Jeremiah makes us tearful and quite sad. What a difficult and challenging life he had. But one thing is very for sure, Lord, that despite all those challenges, he was a man of faith. Dear gracious God, mold us. Mold us, dear God, to be men and women of faith. Help us to live by faith alone in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.